Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again on The Final Word. Before we begin today's exposition, if you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, you will discover there some articles that I've produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. We continue our exposition of the Gospel of John. We've now come to chapter 10. This is the chapter of the Good Shepherd. We've just finished the great narrative of Jesus' healing of the blind man. Now the Lord Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know, they do not recognize the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they, his disciples, they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them." Carson gives us the background that we need to rightly understand this figure of speech about the shepherd and the sheep and the sheepfolds and all that. Let me share that with you. This is not a quote, but what I'm saying, I'm basing upon what Carson says. Oftentimes, a sheep pen would consist of a large pen where several families penned up their sheep for protection during the night. In other words, smaller pens within one mega pen. They would hire a watchman to guard the door to the fold while the sheep were penned up. Those who were authorized to enter the sheepfold would be cleared by the watchman and enter through the door of the sheep pen, the mega pen. Obviously, those with bad intentions toward the sheep, whether those intentions were to steal them from their proper owners or simply to slaughter them, Carson says they would try to avoid detection and gain access by some other means than the door. Now, the Old Testament background for this chapter is Ezekiel 34. There the Lord denounces the supposed shepherds of Israel, the faithless shepherds of Israel. He denounces them for their neglect and abuse of his sheep. At best, they are hirelings, and at worst, they are thieves and plunderers. Despite their derelict ways and self-serving rapacity, the Lord declares in Ezekiel 34:10 through 16 that he will eventually intervene and he will rescue his flock from the hands of these faithless shepherds and these thieves and plunderers, and he will restore their health and provisions and tend to them lovingly. Finally, he promises to place them, this is still Ezekiel 34, he promises to place them under one shepherd, my servant David. That's a reference not to David personally, David is dead, but it's a reference to David's greater descendant on the throne of Israel, the Messiah, the Christ in Greek. Other passages in the Old Testament which condemn the woeful shepherds of Israel at that time are Isaiah 56, 9 through 12, Jeremiah 23, 1 through 4, and Jeremiah 25, 32 through 38. Here I quote Carson. In the context of Jesus' ministry, the thieves and robbers are the religious leaders who are more interested in fleecing the sheep than in guiding, nurturing, and guarding the sheep. They are the leaders of chapter 9 who should have had ears to hear Jesus' claims and to recognize him as the revelation from God, but who instead belittle and expel the sheep, as we saw in John 9 in the case of the man once blind. The embrace of this sheep metaphor and sheep pen metaphor also, as we see by verse 8, extends to any who lay false claim to God's sheep, or mistreat God's sheep, or try to take possession of the sheep without coming to the doors, with a capital D, and leading them through it. That would include, in that day, the occasional messianic pretenders, those who rose up and tried to pass themselves off as the Messiah. These characters would pop up, and to some of whom the Jewish leaders would lend support, as our Lord had mentioned earlier, saying that if some pseudo-Messiah came in his own recognizance, as amazingly and blindly, they would pay heed. But Jesus, who comes from God, comes in the name and on the authority of his Father in heaven. Despite all of his signs, they gave him neither ear nor credit. Jesus says in verse 3 that the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep, and that expression presupposes that several different flocks are in the megafold. That is, there's the megafold, and within the megafold there are many folds, M-I-N-I. The shepherd calls out his own. Near Eastern shepherds have been known to stand, we are told, at different spots outside the whole enclosure and to sound out their own peculiar calls. Carson says their own sheep responding and gathering around their particular shepherd. This shepherd goes further. He calls his own sheep by name, Carson says. Well, this expression highlights the fact that our Lord does more than own the flock as a corporate entity, but he sees and cares for each individual sheep in its uniqueness. In the family of God, we are not an impersonal number. In the family of God, his sheep, every one of them is a beloved member. As we will see, Christ gave up his life not simply for the church as a whole, the whole body of his elect, but he died for and cares for each and every one of us in particular. Each of us is special to him, not because of anything that commends us to God in and of ourselves. We need to understand that. But we are special to him because of the price he paid to redeem us. Because of what he has invested in us, we're all dilapidated fixer-uppers, but he paid a premium price for us. And we're special to him because of the eternal purpose that he has in mind for us, and that is to put us on eternal display, everlasting displays of trophies of his amazing grace. He chose us individually before the foundation of the world, that individually we might be holy and blameless in Christ. So in this passage, John 10, 1 through 8, the sheep pen is contemporary Judaism. That's the mega, M-E-G-A pen. In that large fold, Jesus enters, and he calls his own by name. And we are told they recognize his voice. That is, they hear it as the voice of their God. They respond to it. This is an action of the Holy Spirit, and they follow him where he leads them. So in the context of contemporary Judaism, by the doorkeeper, that's the watchman who opens, the Lord may have had in view, especially John the Baptist, who directed his own disciples to Jesus. You remember he pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He still does. Alternatively, he may have had in mind, by the doorkeeper, the Spirit of God, rather than some particular one or some of his human instruments. Some scholars prefer not to try to pin the identity of the doorkeeper down. They just see the doorkeeper as simply a necessary part of the furniture of the sheepfold metaphor. It's hard to be certain. Then in verse 4, Jesus continues with his imagery, and he says, when he, the shepherd, puts forth all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. Now note this. Note that in his coming, he, the shepherd, he knows his own, and he calls them out from the common herd. 2. He leads them where he wants them to go. 3. His sheep do follow and respond to him. And 4. They follow him because they, by supernatural intuition, that's the Spirit of God, they recognize his voice as the true voice of God and the way of life and light. Now let me amplify here. Dear friends, discipleship, this thing of following after Christ, it's not a life of social isolation. But Christ does call us to moral separation from the common herd. Through his Spirit, working through his word or voice, the Lord leads us in the ways that we should walk for his glory and our good. Sheep may bear his brand, so to speak, that is, profess to know him. But you notice something here? The real mark of those who really know him is the fact that they actually follow him. And they do so because his voice, whether heard echoing from the pages of his revealed word or filtered through the voice and personalities of one of his called and gifted messengers, they do instinctively recognize it authentically as his. You see, faith follows. I get so tired of all this tripe we hear today from a lot of directions, and I'm talking about in-house, not necessarily from the world, people talking about Christians living on a moral level as low as the world or even lower. Now, folks, Christians do sin, and we're not perfected, but I want to tell you something. You ought to have cognitive dissonance there, and I mean something doesn't add up. The problem there is a theology that says everybody that sings or says Jesus has been baptized or attends a church is a Christian. That is simply not true. The church, as the New Testament taught us, the kingdom of God, as Jesus clearly revealed in some of his parables, is a mixed multitude. Not everything that's called Christian is Christian any more than all that was called Israel was Israel, as we see in Romans chapter 9. The connection with what I'm saying, with what is in the text, is this. Jesus says, my sheep know me. I know my sheep. They know me, and they follow me. Now, where there is a Christian, there's a justified person. And where there is a justified person, there is a person who is being, it's a process, being sanctified, being conformed morally to Christ. These are people who follow Jesus. If what we call a Christian faith is not a following faith, we are obviously dealing with a dead faith. It is not for real. God's people are changed people, people who are transformed by the new birth. They are people who grow. Yes, they can get temporarily sick and sidelined. That's not for 15 or 20 years. You'll see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 when Paul talks to some of the Corinthian church that after his rebukes they had not gotten into line. And he says, I think you need to examine yourself to see if you're for real, to see if you're even in the faith. So if you have any notion out there that those who walk on a lower plane or a plane of life as low as the unbelievers, then they probably still are an unbeliever. You've heard that old statement of Vance Havner, and I don't know where Vance got it. I don't think it was original with him, but if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, likes to keep the company of ducks, it probably is still a duck. God's people are transformed. Yes, I know that old hymn. I've quoted it many times, said it many times. You can come to Jesus just as you are. It doesn't matter how vile. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer. It doesn't matter if you're a serial murderer. It doesn't matter if you're a thief, if you're a robber, you're a wife beater, you're a rapist, or even a vile predator. It doesn't matter. If you're a sexual pervert, it doesn't matter. As far as your forgiveness is concerned, you can come to Jesus just exactly as you are. You don't have to tidy yourself up. put a ribbon around yourself and make yourself acceptable to God before you can come to the embrace of His Son. Absolutely not. You can come just as you are. But I will tell you this, that if your faith is sincere and real, He will not leave you just as you were. He will change you. You will be transformed. You will be inhabited by the Spirit of God. You'll have a new power that you never knew before. You will follow if you're His. That was the whole deal with the new covenant. God promised a new covenant in the Old Testament, and He told Israel, you will be changed. I'll give you a real heart. I'll give you a sensitive heart. I'll give you a heart that responds to God, and you will keep my commandments. And so it is. His people, if they're His people, they follow Him. They follow after God's law. They're not saved by keeping God's law, but because they are saved, they follow after God's will. Jesus says in verse 5, as He continues with this metaphor, a stranger, they, He means His sheep, they will simply not follow. They will flee from Him because they do not know, they do not recognize or respond to the voice of strangers. Strangers whose voice is contrary to that of our Lord Jesus. Now this is a most significant and illuminating statement, and it explains a lot that sometimes baffles us in church life. So let me amplify upon this. Church people, and don't confuse church people with Christian people, church people sometimes get misled, and they wind up following after some cult leader, or getting involved in some weird sect, or caught up in strange heretical doctrines that twist and depart from the truth of the Scriptures. That is God's Word. That is God's voice. We wonder how Christian people could get mixed up in such nonsense and get carried so far away from the truth. The answer is quite simply, they are church people. They are not Christian people. They're all mixed up together in my church and your church, his church and her church. The true sheep of our Lord Jesus Christ may be simple folk. They're often lacking in theological substance and biblical knowledge. But what all God's sheep do have is a built-in lie detector or baloney meter. That's through the Holy Spirit. The true sheep of the Lord Jesus may not always know why garbage is garbage, but they smell it, maybe not immediately, but eventually they get it. They smell it all the same, and they steer away from it. They don't get drawn into webs of deceit, because the Spirit of God gives them an intuition to differentiate between the truth, that is, the voice of Christ, and the voices of error and darkness. That is, they just instinctively understand the voice of strangers, at least in all matters and issues essential to following Christ, as opposed to darkness. Now, let me give you just a little bit of an illustration of that. I'm sitting here as I am recording this message in my office, which is at the end of our office complex part of the building. Now, sometimes I'm in here with my door open. And as I'm in here working at my computer, reading, or whatever I'm doing, I will hear voices in the outer office, often women's voices. That's what's pertinent to my illustration here. Some voices sound a little bit alike. They're in about the same range. And so occasionally I will hear a voice, and I will think it is one person rather than another. There have been occasions when I've thought my wife, who I believe was gone, is out there in the outer office, because somebody who had a voice that from a distance was just in her range and that sort of thing sounded like her. But upon closer listening, I can differentiate those voices because I've lived with that voice for well over half a century. I'm very familiar with it. I'm not likely to mistake that voice, or if I mistake it, I'm not likely to mistake it more than momentarily. And so, in her case, with my voice is distinctive to her. It would be very rare and very unlikely for her to confuse my voice with anyone else's voice. Well, that's just physically. Spiritually, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Well, this process goes on today as much as it did then, except today, we don't have the physical presence of Christ among us. Rather, we have His spiritual presence in us, in the Holy Spirit. And we have His spiritual presence among us, teaching His Word through the written page and filtered through human teachers of it. The visible church is much like Judaism. Everybody professes to know God, but some hear the voice of Christ, and they recognize His voice, and they follow Him, if they're His sheep. Others have ears for strange voices, not for Christ's voice, and they get led away into all sorts of self-destructive error. Now, our job, then, is to teach the truth. Our job, my job, even as I sit here, is to be a megaphone of the voice of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So let us not panic or be chicken littles the world is falling in when some peel away from the truth and they go following after strange doctrines and strange people. You see, the voice of Christ judges people. By that I mean it exposes to what flock people really belong. They may be in the church, but do they belong to Christ or do they belong to some stranger? His sheep will recognize His voice, wherever it comes from, filtered through any one of His servants, and they will be drawn to it. Those who are not His sheep will be put off. They will be, sooner or later, offended by Christ's voice. We see that in John chapter 6, we've already been there, where some of Jesus' ostensible disciples had been following Him around and listening to Him teaching for a period of time, and then all of a sudden it got to be too much for them. When Jesus started talking about drinking my blood and eating my flesh, they just finally said, oh, this is too much. He's flipped. He's over the top. We're out of here. His voice tested them, and they proved in the final analysis that they were not His sheep. So you see, folks, we sometimes have this idea that we're sitting in judgment upon Christ, that we're standing around taking His measure and sitting in evaluation and assessment upon His servants who minister His Word and taking their measure. You know, in reality, the voice of Christ is taking measure of us. It's taking our temperature, and it's testing our pedigree. It's just the other way around. Well, in verse 6, figure of speech is a different Greek word, but it shares basically the same meaning with a parable, and the connotation of mystery is embedded in it. The Pharisees fail to understand what He's talking about. Probably some of Jesus' disciples, too. They were not on His wavelength. They were a classic example of those who were not of His sheep. They were not attuned to His voice. They were attuned to the voice of strangers. Now, in verse 7, the metaphor continues, but don't think of this next section as an explanation of 1 through 5. It isn't. It is a variation on the same imagery. Now Jesus, though He's still using the sheepfold metaphor, He changes up the imagery here to underscore another relationship that He has with the sheep. Not only is He the shepherd who calls out His own sheep from a multifold or a megafold, now Jesus depicts Himself under this figure as the very door of those who belong to His sheepfold. He's a shepherd. He's also the door. He is the shepherd who calls and leads His sheep. Now He's presenting Himself under this figure as the door of access to God's fold and the way of provision for their sustenance. We'll develop this in our next study. Thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.